Okay, so right, we're in the middle of our Shmad, right, the Shasa Shmad discussions. So, right, today I'd like to focus on two other important issues, which are directly impacted by the nature of the Mechayev for Shmad. So the first big issue I'd like to discuss is the potential extension of Yehar Vayavur of Shmad to Araksa to Masana. See, it's not so fresh that it extends, but first I have to take a step back and understand the gather of Araksa to Masana to then even appreciate the machlokes, the implications of whether Araksa to Masana applies to Shmad as well. So in order to appreciate the whole discussion, let's just read the Gemara. I don't have the Gemara Ayin Dalet Gemara. I'm going to go for Ariel. Four lines up. Ki Asa Ravdim.
קיאת הרדימי, אמר רבי יוחנן, אפילו שלא בשעת גזירת המלכות, לא אמרו אלא בצנעה, אבל בפרסיה אפילו מצווה קלה ירא ואל יעבור.
Just go back to קיאס הרדימי, four lines up, for the שמעת part.
Oh,
It's important to see them all together.
קיאת הרדימי, אמר רבי יוחנן, לא שנו אלא שלא בשעת גזירת המלכות, אבל בשעת גזירת המלכות, אפילו מצווה קלה ירא ואל יעבור.
Okay, it's important. So right now, right, the Gemara says that the Yehar Vayavur of Shas HaShmad applies to Mitzvah Kala. Right after that, it says similarly the same thing by Faris. Yeah, go for it.
Kiyad HaRavdimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Shalom Yishad Zidrat HaMalchut, Lo Amru Ela Bitzin'ah, Aval Bifaris, Afilu Mitzvah Kala Yehareg Ve'al Yavur. Mai Mitzvah Kala.
So before you even say that, right? So again, we just took the Memros, the Memra of, right, Ravdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan in the context of Shmad, and then Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan in the context of Parhasia. They both say that both these, right, extended forms of Yehar Vayavur, right, these are the two extensions beyond the big three, that both the Parhasia form of Yehar Vayavur and the Shmad both apply Mitzvah Kala. So then the Gemara asks, what my is Mitzvah Kala? So again, without knowing anything, you would assume it's going on both. Because it used that same exact term of Mitzvah Kala, both by the first one of Shmad and by Farhesia. We're going to see that's going to be a controversial issue, and some are going to say, no, that my Mitzvah Kala is Dafka coming off of the second Memra of Farhesia, while, right, these Mefarshim hold that this extension to Araksa de Masana, but I'm not giving anything away, right, does not, apply to Shmad. We have to analyze that. Just to know, linguistically, it's all coming from the Gemara. You have two Memros, and then the Gemara is coming off, the question is coming off both or just the second? Which is the line?
My mitzvah kala, amar rava bar rav yitzchak, amar rav afilu leshenuyei arketa de mesana, mekava faresia.
Okay, was that right? So, raksa de mesana, right, which literally means shoelaces. Exactly. And according to our girsa, we're going to see whether this is the girsa according to everybody, is basically even to change the Araksa de Masana, even to change your shoelaces. We're going to see that. We'll get there in a second. Yeah. Exactly. We'll get there. Oh. So the first thing we have to discuss, right, before getting back to the issue of whether or not this even applies to Shmad, right, or whether it was limited to Farhasi, first we have to define what exactly is Araksa de Masana, right? It's clear that there's a chiddush that it even applies to Araksa de Masana. We have to figure out what exactly is the gedder of Araksa de Masana to know what the Gemara is driving at. So here you have a very big machlokes rishonim in terms of what exactly is the gedder of Araksa de Masana. So the first approach in the rishonim is that Araksa de Masana really represents an iser d'rabbanan. Whereby the chiddush of afilu Araksa de Masana is that not only does the Harag Vayavur apply to the Shar Mitzvos to Araisa, but it also applies to Isurim Durabana. So, the Mefarshim who accept this approach, the first one is the She'otos. Right? And the She'otos is a very unique approach to Araksa de Masana, which we're going to we're gonna have a couple of comments to make. But it's clear, based on the She'otos' discussion, that the way he's magdir Araksa de Masana is as a formal Isur Durabana. Anyone have the sheet? But the She'otos is important to read it for a number of points. You want to go for it, Osher?
From the beginning?
Yeah.
Kelser Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Had Amar Kolavir Shvatar Yavar Val Yaharig, Bo Shonim El Shalu B'Shas HaShmah, El Shas HaMah, Yaharig Val Yavar. My time up. Kevin the Gzeiru L'mi Akra Milsa, L'milsa, Havik Kiddush Hashem. The Kamina Bey,
This is what we saw yesterday, that we're going to get back to this today, that the way the Shiltos is Magdir Shmad is in terms of Chil Hashem. Oh, so it's very interesting. Right off the bat, he doesn't even, right, the Gemara mentions Mitzvah Kala by both, and theoretically only, you know, says the Raksa Demasana by Farhesra. But the Shiltos, the way he presents it, at least at the beginning, is that he doesn't even quote the extension of Mitzvah Kala by Farhesra, by Shmad. He only says Mitzvah Kala by Farhesra. Which again, at the beginning he got very excited, but then we're going to see later, he does explicitly apply Raksa Demasana to Shmad. So it seems like he undoes that idea, but it is interesting nonetheless. You have to busy, at least we have to be, have a heightened, you know, awareness of, you know, trying to, you know, analyze, you know, the presentations of the different Rishonim in terms of trying to get the picture of what they hold about whether Raksa Demasana, whether Mitzvah Kala extends to Shmad. Okay. Either way, my Mitzvah Kala.
Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak. Amar Rabba Filo Raksa Demasana. Afilu Had Isser Drabbanani.
Oh, so it, clearly, right up front, the Shiltos define Raksa Demasana as an Isser Drabbanan, and therefore, again, it would seem that he would not extend the Harav Yavor of Farhesya or Shas Hashmad past that, let's say, to a Minhag Yehudis, for example, which other Mepharshim will. So again, it's clear that it's only an Isser Drabbanan. So now the Shiltos has explained how do you get an Isser, a formal Isser Drabbanan from Raksa Demasana. What's the case? This is the Shiltos' unique shot. Go for it.
My day, Rusha. Kedam Rabbanan. Pazru Lamos Bifne Abuzara, Bo Yeshuach Bihlame, Nishimira, Kimishnach Bilabuzara. Nichnas Lakot Biragu Bifne Abuzara, Bo Yeshuach Bihlame, Nishimira, Kimishnach Bilabuzara. Kigon Ilu Dome Atarasarak to the Masana, the Bishas Hashem.
I said before that, right? So what are the cases? Basically, there are cases where.
Right, so anytime where you have to, like, stab, you know, bend down to, you know, fix your foot or something.
Pick up money
in front of Avodah Zarah, right, which looks like that.
Yeah, which your leader is going to define as Maris Ayin,
right.
Avodah Zarah. But the key is, I stop you, and then he says, Dibishas.
Maris Ayin, Chilul Hashem.
He's going to say Maris Ayin, which thereby triggers Chilul Hashem. And there's an Isser Drabbanan, it's a formal Isser Drabbanan of Maris Ayin, which thereby triggers the Machayim of Chilul Hashem. Then he clearly says, therefore, and Dibishas Hashmad. All right, continue on. In
Anisu Es Yisrael, Avodah Avodah Zarah, Ve'ino Rotzeh, V'Amrakach Yamidu B'fnei Avodah Zarah, Yom R'lo, K'fof Atzmecha V'Hater Arach Zimtana, and then untie your shoelaces, Shalot Tishtach Avodah Avodah Zarah, Ela K'fifoskel Yilhati Arach Zimtana, U'vovad Ro'echa Yomru Shishtach Avesa.
Sorry, also, is the case. Also, so again, I don't know exactly what to do with the earlier Diuk. So while originally his presentation implied that the extension of Mitzvah Kala and the Raksa Demasana would be limited to Farhesya, when he's giving the example, when he's being Magdir what a Raksa Demasana is, he clearly gives the example of Shas Hashmad. So at the end of the day, the Shiltos does seem to extend Raksa Demasana, this extension to Nisr Durabanan, even to the case of Shmad. We'll get back to this later, just to finish up the piece quickly.
Ela shochel lahatir, ol nira shochel b'fnei avodah zarah, amar shekol makom, shomer chacham b'nei maris ayin, afil b'chadrei chadarim aser.
So again, the Shiltos is very clearly defining Raksa Demasana as an Isser Drabbanan, and the Isser Drabbanan of maris ayin, of avodah zarah, at that. So just a side point, Rosh Hashanah quotes this on the side, that according to the Shiltos' unique right, explanation of Raksa Demasana, they point out that he likely has a different girsa, not l'shinuye, Raksa Demasana. It's not about changing, you know, the color of your shoelaces or whatnot, but it's rather the shiruye Raksa Demasana, right? To untie them. So again, if you, you know, for all the scholars out there, you know, the difference between the shiruye and the shinuye is the nun and the resh, which is just, you know, the bottom of the nun. So it's definitely something which is, you know, easily confused. But either way, that's the one comment of the Or Sameach. This is the comment of the Or Sameach in Yisodei HaTorah Parakei Halacha Beis. So again, on the Rambam there, the Or Sameach makes this Ha'ar, and we're going to get to another Ha'ar that he makes in just a moment. So again, the Shiltos is the first Rishon who takes this, you know, that it's a formal Isser Drabbanan, and he has a unique explanation at that. Sorry.
Go.
What? What do you say?
Go.
Gone?
Go.
Oh, go. Exactly. Go. I don't understand the word you're saying. Exactly. First, Mfarish. One of the Gona. Oh. So another Rishon, sorry, a Rishon, another Mfarish, who takes this Isser Drabbanan approach is the Yad Rama. the Adarma and Ayin Dalet and our Gemara here, Dior Maskel Ki Asa Ravin, right? The Adarma seems, again, it doesn't say Durabanan explicitly, but seems to basically frame this issue of Araks de Masana in terms of a formal Isser of Chukas Akam, Chukoseyem, Lo Se Lechu, right? And but from the, again, so again, the Adarma is clearly, he's quoting a formal Isser, right? It's clearly not just a Minag Yehudis. But if you look very closely at the Lashon of the Adarma, he says, Delis be Ela Mishum B'chukoseyem Lo Se Lechu. It sounds like when he sounds like he's trying to say that it's only Nesir Drabar. Again, when he says Delay Ella, the only thing you have is Chukas Akum. Again, it seems like he thinks either that this example of Chukas Akum is only in Isir Drabar. Again, that's why the Adarama is like the Shiltos, presumably in the sense that they define the Arachas and Masana in terms of a formal Isser, but an Isser Drabanan, and that's the extension.
According to Shiltos, it seems like it's more of like a Abizrayu de Abizara.
Oh, we're going to get to that in just a moment. Hold off 1 second. So, but very good. Right, so again, from the Shiltos and the Adarama, we know that the that Arachas and Masana is referring to an Isser Drabanan. But now a further question that I have to ask within this Isser Drabanan approach is, does this apply to all Isserim Drabanan? Or perhaps more limited, like Aaron is suggesting. And that is, let's say, the Pashup Shat, you know, 1a, is that any Isser Drabanan would be included. And I think that's the Pashup Shat, is that as long as, I mean, that the Chiddush of Afilu Rachas of the Masana is that we extend the Harag Mayavur, a Farhesia / Shman, we'll get to that in those details in a moment, we extend that the Rachas de Masana represents the extension of Yehar Le'avor to Yisroel Drabanan. Pashus, that applies to all Yisroel Drabanan. The Gemara is just giving one example of that. But, based on the exactly as Aaron said, based on the She'iltos' example, where he specifically gives a Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, there's room to say that perhaps the extension of Rachas de Masana doesn't extend the Harav Yavar to all Yisroel Drabanan, but perhaps it would be limited to Yisroel Drabanan which are specifically associated with one of the Averos Chamuras, or perhaps with Avodah Zarah. And in fact, the Or Sameach, that same Or Sameach, Yisodei HaTorah, Parakei, Halacha Beis, in fact, again, when he quotes this, you know, this She'iltos and notes this Girsa issue, he says, basically, he formulates this perspective of the She'iltos as Abizrael de Avodah Zarah. And exactly in that line. And again, he doesn't spell out exactly what he means. He doesn't tell you all the implications of it, but it could be, according to Or Sameach, at least the Or Sameach's interpretation of the Shilta, is that it's the only Yisroel Drabanan which would be included in the Har Le'Avor are those which are considered Abizrayu of the big three, and which therefore have, more of a Chomer, more of a Chil Hashem, because of their association with the big three, but the Har Le'Avor would not necessarily apply to all other types of Yisroel Drabanan. So again, within this first approach of Yisroel Drabanan, 1a is that it applies to all Yisroel Drabanan, but 1b, this Or Sameach's suggestion within the She'iltos, is that it perhaps is limited to Yisroel Drabanan, specifically associated with the big three.
So I thought also for the Adarma, because he's connecting it to Chukas Akum, I think also could be seen as a
broader Avodah Zarah type idea.
Right.
And then you reject those. That's interesting. That's interesting.
And also, especially once you say that, I'm not sure if you daft get to say that you're saying Drabanan, no?
Is it the least Bay Ella?
Right, that's what I'm saying. As opposed to Avodah Zarah Asma. I mean, not only is it just Avodah Zarah, but also even the Abizrayu, even something external okay. Off, like
that could be. I hear that. I mean, that's his focus. Yeah.
So if this is up to the guards of Mozart, why isn't it also a field that's in a field just as well?
Perhaps because only Drabanan. As I pointed out, according to Israel's discussion in the Ran, meaning I think that the general interpretation of the Ran, the general din of Abizrayu, is that Abizrayu apply to Lavin, which are in the category of the big three. But wouldn't necessarily apply to Drabanan. The Chiddush here is that it's even you can basically extend this notion of Abizrayu even to Mr. Drabanan. That's the Chiddush of this particular Abizrayu. Again, we don't know what the Shiltos holds about Abizrayu in general, as I don't recall, but assuming that, even if he holds that, you know, the Chiddush specifically here is that you're extending the Abizrayu notion to Yisroel Drabanan. Fine. Oh. So the second approach to Araxes the Masana is that no, you don't even need a formal Issur Derabanan. That Araxes the Masana refers to a Minhag Yehudis, even which is something which is not a formal Issur. Within this Minhag Yehudis camp, well, this approach number two, there again seems to be two ways to viewing Minhag Yehudis. And the question is, and as we had a discussion, long discussion with some guys in the Beis Medrash this morning, is this Minhag Yehudis can be limited to specific types of Minhagim, which, you know, represents Jewish values? Or does it extend to any Minhag Yehudis, even if that particular Minhag doesn't, you know, reflect a certain Jewish value? And again, it's arguable how to interpret some of these Rishonim, but we're going to suggest that certain Rishonim seem to clearly take, you know, the first approach. I think this is Pshat and Rashi and the Menesmag, that they limit this extension to Minhag Yehudis to specific Minhagim which reflect Jewish values. So there's some, you know, religious component to the Minhag beyond just the fact that they are a Minhag Yisrael. So if you look very closely at Rashi, you want to go for it, Ariel, because we had a long discussion today. The top Rashi and Ayin on this.
Arkita de Mesana. Sof hanal shim derech ha'ovdei kochavim likshor kach v'derech Yisrael b'inyan achir.
Right, so if you stop there, all he's saying is that, oh, this is a Minhag Yisrael. They tie their shoelaces in a certain way or a different color. That's Makalkas Rishonim. Whatever, the way Rashi says it's more the man which you tie. If you stop there, it sounds like it's just a minhag, but then he adds something very important.
Kagon, shiyesh tzad yahadut b'davar, v'derech Yisrael liyot tznuim
afilu. So again, I think that's the key line in Rashi. Again, Ariel disagrees a little bit, but I think Rashi is adding a very important qualification here, that this extension to minhag Yehudis does not apply to any minhag under the sun, but rather one which is tzad yahadus, which I'm interpreting as has some Jewish value, which therefore Rashi, you know, tells you what the Jewish value is. In this case, it's the value of tznius. So again, while this manner of tying your shoes is not a formal iser, but it's a minhag which reflects certain Jewish values, and therefore there is some religious component to it. Continuing further, afilu shinui ze.
Afilu shinui ze shen kan mitzvah ela minhag be'alma yekadesh et Hashem b'fnei chavrav Yisrael v'hai paresia.
So it's clear, right? And the next line, again, when I hear he says Minhag Ba'alma, I think it's just a contrast from a, you know, that it's not a mitzvah. Rashi is saying, okay, even if this Minhag reflects, you know, Jewish values, a, you know, value of tznius, it's still not a formal iser, but even so, that's the extension, that's the chiddush of Araxes the Masana. And again, we'll get back to the last four words in Rashi, where Rashi seems to imply that the extension of the Araxes the Masana is limited to Faresia, not to Shmai. But we'll get back to that in just a moment. And in the Smag, similarly, when he, you know, this is according to the second sheet of the Mar Makomos, again, when the way he formulates, he too basically, you know, defines the Araxes the Masana in terms of Minhag Yehudis, but also seems to insert this value of Tznius, which again, they even reference Rashi, he seems to align himself with Rashi that again, it's not just any Minhag Yehudis, but rather one which has reflects Jewish values. And there he says, "Lutznius uminag yadus." Again, seems to me taking this approach of Rashi. But one Rishon, again, who is not clear, and there's a possibility, I think a greater possibility, that he's extending it to any Minhag at all, is the Yireya. Again, I think it's an open question how to read it. We're discussing a lot this morning. But if you look quickly at the last line of the Yireya, at least as quoted here in Siman Tav Gimel, I really want to go for it. You say the line where it says, "Afilu Araxes de Masana."
Afilu Araxes de Masana, Pirush Minhag Yehudi, Shanoheg Letarbut Lekidush Hashem.
So here, when the Yireya formulates Minhag Yehudis, he doesn't explicate any Jewish value per se. All he says, Shanoheg Letarbut, which again, in modern day Hebrew means culture, it's unclear exactly what his connotation was, ulekiddush Hashem. So again, you could say, you know, it's the minhag of, you know, the Tarbut, which is mekadesh shem shamayim because it has a specific value. You could read it that way and thereby align the Yireya with the Smag and Rashi. Or you can say that, no, any nohag, which is, you know, part of the Tarbut, any minhag ba'alma, is itself a kiddush Hashem. So again, the Urim, I think, is open, more open than the other ones, I think is more open, perhaps, to even interpreting it as saying that any minhag ba'alma, even if it doesn't reflect any Jewish value, but at least the other two, Rashi and Esmag, I think, we're limiting it, the minhag Yehudis, to those minhagim which actually reflect specific Jewish values.
And I think the Rav, you know, he might say that, like, by definition, a minhag reflects Jewish values.
Yeah, that was part of our discussion.
Right.
And again, but then Rashi wouldn't need to add the value of tznius necessarily. I'm saying, if you're taking the approach that any minhag, it depends what you mean by that. Is it any minhag because we assume that it came from somewhere? Is that what you're saying? I mean, even if we don't know what it reflects, just mistama it reflects a Jewish value? And mistama, there was, like, you know, as Ariel said, there was a rabbi who instituted it for some good reason? Or is it just the association of doing minhag Yisrael versus minhag Akum itself has a value?
Right. Oh, I was saying somewhat in between the two, right?
Okay.
Meaning the fact that it became a Jewish value, it became a Jewish minhag, even if it came from some totally random source, probably reflects some actual Jewish value.
I think it's the first example.
Okay, but I'm saying like some rabbi did it, but...
But okay, Hashgacha, however you want to...
Yeah,
okay, so then...
I agree that Rashi's not taking that portion of Hagim, but Rashi doesn't need to because he thinks this particular one was, it seems, anyway.
Okay.
So
you're saying even the Urim,
who
doesn't necessarily associate the minhag with a specific value, it could be that because he thinks everyone.
Right.
Okay, could be. But again, we'll come on to a nafka mina between them in terms of, let's say there's a specific minhag that we don't know that it reflects a certain value. So according to your explanation, then, and basically your interpretation of the Urim, is that they were all, basically the Maiso, all minhag Yadus, all minhag Yehudit would be included in this din.
Right.
Well, if you take Rashi, Rashi's perspective, unless you're saying his perspective on minhagim, would not, unless you know the specific thing. So again, you're saying in Lamdus, they both come out to the same result. They're both saying that, oh, the only time Harav Yavar would extend to a minhag is when that minhag, you know, reflects a Jewish value. Their machokes would be, you know, machokes a minhagim. Do you view a stam minhag Yehudis as reflecting a value or not? Okay. Fine.
Yeah, but let's say you have a value that some people with a minhag, it reflects a value, but not necessarily, only, like, let's say one sect of Judaism has the value, has this, whatever that minhag is.
Yeah, that's
a
question.
If the Goyim comes to tell you to stop doing that minhag, then not all the Jews keep.
You're also saying tznius is very relative.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, even quote Rashi's, you know, value of tznius. You know, there are different ways to be knowing tznius, and we all know that it's very relative to context, etc., etc. So you're wondering whether a certain nihug of tznius within a certain context, you know, would trigger your heart layab, or if that particular nihug of tznius didn't apply in other communities. That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure. You have to, again, the Rishonim don't seem to discuss that factor, so you have to see if people discuss that. That's an interesting question.
And certainly if you say that, like, any stam minhag, right? In one sect of Judaism, everyone wears a shrine. So according to certain, you know, the stam minhag approach in Aras and Asana, would you say, you know...
That's an interesting question. Hashgacha, because you really know as Hashgacha for everyone. That's, you know, yeah. I don't want to get anything on record, you know.
If you know where the Hashgacha came from, like where it did come from, and it doesn't have any Judaism.
Okay, we're not gonna get into the specific. Yeah.
So how do we say that Stam Minhag would have? Yeah. Stam Minhag didn't have any real.
Are you saying according to Asher's version or my version?
I really can't say.
Meaning the two ways to understand the Urim. Is the Urim saying, assuming the Urim is applying this to any stam minhag? So the question is, so why is it subject to Yehudit Yavar? Is it because you assume that any stam minhag reflects a Jewish value, even if we don't happen to know it? Or the way I was interpreting it is that, no, perhaps Yehudit Yavar even applies to a minhag Yehudis, even if it's devoid of any specific value, in the sense that, you know, meaning they're trying to take away your association with Klal Yisrael, and perhaps that alone is Mechayev Yehudit Yavar. That's the other way to take it again. So either Stam assume there is a value, or even if there's no value, there's still Yehudit Yavar there. Oh. So now we basically, you know, explore the...
Why is it called the Kiddush Hashem? Knowing the type of the Kiddush Hashem?
So that could be the result, meaning there is a Kiddush Hashem to keeping this minhag. That doesn't really tell you, is that because of the value, or because, no, just just associating with the minhag of Yisrael is a kiddush Hashem. Something that's open.
I think it's just a diag, maybe specifically to change the minhag, not to do the minhag would be like not doing an asay.
Yeah, so, but it happens to be he's forming it in the positive. It happens to be. He's not saying Tchil Hashem. He's saying Shanoeg L'Tarbus Ulukidash Hashem. That there is this, even a positive Hashem to the positive, to what you call like the Kiyam. So again,
say Karka Olam applies. I'm saying if you don't do the Minhag actively, so that specifically you're supposed to, you can't change it, but just to take off, not to wear the Shulis say at all.
Oh, sorry. Like that. Oh, okay.
Specifically to change the Shulis would be a problem.
Yeah. I agree. It could be not wearing it is not even considered.
Right.
Exactly, 100%. Okay, so now we basically discussed the gather of rocks in Sinai, right? Whether it's an Isra Drabanan or Minhag Yehudis, and again within each, you know, there are sub options within, you know, Isra Drabanan, whether all Yisum Drabanan or whether specifically a Bizrai of the big three, or within Minhag Yehudis, whether there's a specific value, a specific known value, an assumed value, or no value. Again, three options now. So according to any of these approaches, now we have to take a step back and look at the Mefarshim in terms of whether they're going to extend this Rocks of the Masana extension to Shmad, or they're going to limit it to Parhasin, and then you're going to have to then plug it into the first two approaches. Fine. So in terms of, you know, the scope of a Rocks of the Masana, so we have basically, again, two Mahach. So I would say the Pashpshat in the Sugya is that the extension of a Rocks of the Masana applies both to Parhesia and to Shmad. And again, I think this is the simplest read of the Gemara, because again, the Gemara, both Memros have Mitzvah Kala, and then the Gemara defines what Mitzvah Kala is. So I would say that the simple reading of the Gemara is that we're now defining the Mitzvah Kala, which was for both the Shmad and for Parhesia. And again, this approach we're going to see, which equates basically Shmad and Parhesia, and says, oh, once you have Rakhs of the Masana for Parhesia, you have the same thing for Shmad, again, it would work very nicely with the Chil Hashem approach. And again, if you think that Shmad, like Parhesia, is a din of Chil Hashem, so then again, the fact that we're seeing an equation between both Chil Hashem, both Parhesia and Shmad, would make a lot of sense. So again, once you start seeing distinctions, then you guys gonna have to, you know, reassess our, you know, our Shmad understanding. So again, according to the following, you know, Rishonim, who think that Rakhs the Masana applies to both Parhesia and Shmad, again, it works best with a simple reading of the Gemara, and again, it works out very nicely with the, you know, the classical Chil Hashem understanding of Shmad, which seem to equate both Shmad and Parhesia. So now let's go quickly through Mishonim, who seem to apply it both to Shmad and to Parhesia. So the first one is the Shiltos, as we read before. Right? While we noted the Shiltos, you know, only explicates the Mitzvah Kala in the context of Parhesia, when he's giving the example of a Rocks of the Masana, he clearly gives the example of Shas HaShmad, which, you know, clearly indicates that he thinks that this Maris Ayin Drabanan extends to Shmad as well. So the first, you know, that is the Shildos. The second is the Ram. If you look very closely at the Ram, I think he's taking this approach as well. It's important to note, if you look very closely, because, you know, the Nitziv and Ha'amik She'ila interprets the Ram differently. Someone to read for us? Can you go for it, Aaron? Start, let's say, like four lines down. Which is about filu in the middle. It says about filu ena mitzvah.
Filu ena mitzvah ela minhag yehudis again yabi redu nirek over mitzvah lakira. Sar shari al hadab archia rina mishnaj was so perfect for a more. Kishasa shma filu al mitzvah kala paragal yabar.
Yeah, so finish. Yeah. Sorry, so Adkan, he's discussing Shmad, and he clearly, again, he doesn't use the terminology for Rocks of the Masana, but here he explains that Shmad applies even to something which is not a mitzvah, and it's only a minhag Yehudis. Okay, then we'll see, he defines the Rocks of the Masana as minhag Yehudis. So let's say, then Kiyasa Rabin is what we heard before.
Kiyasa Rabin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Filu Shilo B'Shas HaShmad, Bo Abinan Ola B'Tzina, Ola Parashya, Filu Rakhine Lansana, Peres Mihan Yehudesh, Sheh Hanohe Kvassar Bos Rekhush
HaShem. So it's important. So while the Ram only cites, let's say, the phrase Rocks of the Masana in the context of Parhesia, and again, that led the Nitziv and Ha'amek Sheila, you know, Os Tes, to say, oh look, the Ram is in, you know, is in the amongst the Yechidim who don't extend Ratza de Masana to Shmad, but once he defines Ratza de Masana as Minhag Yehudis, and you go back and you see that he explicitly extends the Shmad to Minhag Yehudis, again, it seems to emerge from the Iran that he does extend Lamaisa, the dinam of Ratza de Masana, to Shmad, just like they apply to for Hesia. Again, so again, against the Netziv's interpretation of the Iran, it seems like the Iran really does extend the din of Arachis the Masana, the din of Minhag Yehudis, to both Shmad and for Hesia. In the same Ha'amek She'ilah, again, it's Os test there, the Netziv basically says, he says, with the exception of the Smag and the Iran, we're pointing out now, maybe even not the Iran, he says, all Polskim basically learn the Gemara Kapashas and extend Arachis the Masana to both for Hesia and to Shema. And then we're pointing out now, if you take a close look at the Urayim, it could be the Urayim also agrees with this. And the last, again, you have Shiltos, Urayim, Hamek Sheila, Badas, Rav Polskim. And then if you look closely at the Shulchan Aruch seems to also, again, apply Rocks of the Masana both to for Hesia and to Shema. If you look very carefully, it happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch himself seems to only apply it to Shema. But the Ramah adds based on the Beis Yosef himself to say that it's clear from the Beis Yosef that it applies to Far Hesia. Again, no one doesn't apply to Far Hesia. Presumably, the Shulchan Aruch. What? So, I'll repeat this again, but basically, the Shulchan Aruch, again, only applies it to Shmad, but it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is basically, it even applies to Shmad. And the Ramah is just adding that, based on the Beis Yosef, it's clear that the Shulchan Aruch itself, even applies it to Far Hesia. Again, there's some Hagos in the Ramahs where he's arguing the Shulchan Aruch, and sometimes he's just, filling in certain things, which might not have been as clear as the real Shulchan Aruch intended. So again, the Shulchan Aruch clearly, applies it both to Shmad and to Far Hesia, along with the Pashup Shat. And it's important to note that the fact that the Sheiltos and the Urayim, again, if you recall, are both Chil Hashem people, who both explain Shmad as being a din Chil Hashem, the fact that they equate, the Chil Hashem Far Hesia with the Chil Hashem and Shmad and say the Rocks of the Masana applies to both equally, again, works very well as Shitasim. So again, the Sheiltos and the Urayim, it's not surprising that since they seemingly equate Shmad and Far Hesia in terms of both being Chil Hashem, and therefore it's not a surprise that they equate them in terms of the din of Rocks of the Masana as well.
Those who are the Sheiltos
and the Urayim.
Those who are the Urayim, they both say that it's Chil Hashem.
They both think that Shmad is Chil Hashem, and therefore, and both apply Arachis de Masana, at least in din, to Shmad. So again, which is, I think, very much L'shitasa. The second approach is to say that no, the Gemara only defines the mitzvah kala of Far Hesia as extending to Arachis de Masana, while the mitzvah kala of Shmad has a different connotation. And the Ha'amek Sheila, again, the question is, then what did mitzvah kala mean in the context of Shmad? So the Netziv in that piece points out that there are other Gemaras, namely Gemara and Yuma in the context of Kapara, which define, basically which utilize the term mitzvah kala to refer to Essen and Lavin. So the way the Netziv points out is that according to this second approach, while the mitzvah kala of Far Hesia coming to include Arachis of the Masana, the mitzvah kala in the context of Shmad just means shar mitzvos. He's pointing out, you see in other contexts, namely the Gemara and Yuma, where the same phrase, mitzvah kala, is used to, indicate shar mitzvos. So that's just an important linguistic point, because at the end of the day, everyone has to account for the lashon of mitzvah kala in the context of Shmad. Yeah.
His name is Ram, that learning Hebrew is mitzvah kala.
Uh-huh. Okay. Figure out whether I'd be included in this, but so just going through the number of Rishonim who accept this more mechudish approach to limit the Arachis of the Masana specifically to Far Hesia. So number one on the list is Rashi, as we pointed out last time when Ariel was reading the end of the Rashi on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the Ramaskel Rabbi the Masana, at the last four words, he says, V'hai farhesya medaber b'Yisrael. So again, it seems like he's limiting this whole discussion of Rabbi the Masana to the context of farhesya. So that's Rashi. And also the Ad Ramah, which we were referencing earlier, right? That was the Ad Ramah talking about, you know, Chukas Akum. So there, it seems very clear from the Ramah's description of Rabbi the Masana that again, he's limiting it to farhesya. Number one, he only cites it in the context of farhesya, and even when he's giving the example of Rabbi the Masana, he formulates it in terms of farhesya. The lashon was Amar Rav Yochanan, she'afilu amru lo b'farhesya kashur sandaleich b'ritzuos adumos, etc., etc. So again, the implication is from the Yad Ramah as well, like Rashi, they both, you know, specifically talk about farhesya in the context of Rabbi the Masana. The implication could be that they're limiting it to that context.
Yad Ramah.
Yeah, Yad Ramah. And the third Rishon on the list is the Smag. So again, the Smag, similarly, when he's formulating the Din of Rax and Masana, specifically, you know, seems to limit it to Farhesya. And Ha'omek Sheila there, again, is Medayek, infers from the Smag that the Smag limits Rax and Masana to Farhesya. So we now have to analyze within these Rishonim, right, within the Rashi, Yad Raman, the Smag, in terms of what the implications of being mechalek between Shmad and Farhesya in terms of this issue of Araksa to Masana. But just to plug it into the earlier discussion, right, if Araksa to Masana, right, only extends to Isurim Zerabanan, and yet these Rishonim reject Araksa to Masana, so it would emerge that, right, according to that interpretation, that these Rishonim are limiting the Har Layavur of Shmad to specifically to mitzvos to oraisa. Now to align with the, you know, with the Ha'omek She'ilah's interpretation where he says, oh, the mitzvah kala in the context of Shmad is referring to shar mitzvos, shar esen v'lav. But if you think that Rax of the Masana, the chiddush of Rax of the Masana is that it extends it even to minhag Yehudis, so then when these Rishonim reject, right, I'll say Rashi for instance, right, when Rashi rejects the extension of Raksa the Masana, you know, to Shmad, it could be that he's just rejecting the extension to Minhag Yehudis, but he still will extend the Shmad, Yahar B'Yavor, to Mitzvah's Durban. Basically, if these Rishonim, we have Rashi, Yad Ramah, and the Smag, right? They all seem to limit Raksa the Masana to Farhesya. But now, you have to now, in order to figure out what exactly their gedder of Shmad is, you have to now figure out what their gedder of Rax the Masana is. For example, Rashi and the Smag, who both think that Rax the Masana are Minhag Yehudis, so then when they say that we don't extend Rax the Masana to Shmad, they can just be saying that we don't extend Shmad to Minhag Yehudis, but we will extend it to Mitzvos D'Rabbanan. But according to the Yad Ramah, at least according to my interpretation, the Yad Ramah is Magdir Raksa de Masana as Isurim Jirabanan, and yet he doesn't think that Raksa de Masana extends to Shmad. So according to that, Shmad is limited to actual Isurim to Araisa, like the way Ha'omek She'ela seems to formulate this approach.
Rashi Yilz,
yeah, that was an idea at the end when he's discussing Raksa de Masana. He specifically says Vahay Parhesri on the Dabir.
But what Rashi in Shad Shmad is in there?
Well, yeah, so I'm saying it could be that he even extended to Durabanans.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't necessarily extend it to Minhag Yehudis. That's all I'm pointing out. I'm pointing out you have to basically combine both these topics, right? So
but
far,
you can't say from here what Rashi said.
You don't know. You know what? Exactly. All I'm saying is that we've had, you know, so far in this year, we've discussed two issues. Number one, what's the gedder of Rax and the Masana? And issue number two is whether, you know, Rax and the Masana is limited to Farhesya or whether it also applies to Shmad. All I'm pointing out is that in order to properly analyze, you know, the Shitos who limit it to Rax and the Masana, you have to put that together with the first discussion to figure out, I mean, once you know what the gedder of Rax and the Masana is, you can then appreciate what, you know, which extension they are rejecting. But now we also have to analyze, according to these Rishonim, like right now, the Rashi, the Yad Ramah, the Smag, who are specifically mechalek between Shmad and Farhesya. So what is the implications in terms of their approach to Shmad? Right, so I think there are two ways to take it. Right? One way to take it is that, oh, the fact that these Rishonim are mechalek between Shmad and Farhesya clearly, you know, shows that Shmad is not midin chalashim. Because if it was midin chal Hashem, you could say then it should be exactly the same thing as for Hesya. So the easiest way to understand these Rishonim, and again, it works out very well for Rashi, the fact that Rashi is machalik between, you know, the geder of Farhesia and the geder of Shmad works very well with Shittah. So that he thinks that the mechayev of Shmad has nothing to do with Chil Hashem. It's this, you know, Torah Matahaleh idea. But, let's say for the Smag, for instance, the Smag, again, here includes Shmad within his Chil Hashem discussion. And yet the Smag seems to be machalik between Farhesia and Shmad. So the question is, how do you understand why would the Smag, if he thinks that both Farhesia and Shmad are dinim chil Hashem, why would he basically think that the geder of Farhesia is basically greater than the geder of Shmad, in that Farhesia extends to Rakhs the Masana, while Shmad does not? So this gets back to chilukim we mentioned yesterday. That even if you think that Shmad is a dinim chil Hashem like Farhesia, there still could be distinctions. One distinction we mentioned was the fact that Farhesia is Chil Hashem B'Rabbit, while Shmad could be Chil Hashem B'Tzina. So that could make it less chomor, and therefore, you know, more limited. It wouldn't extend to Rats the Masana. Or, as you pointed out, that even if you think that even the Shmad Chil Hashem is Farhesia, because of like the Chavr Islay idea, we still pointed out it's still less chomor, because what? That's like a, you know, in contrast to Farhesia, where there's like Re'iya, where the Rambam actually see the Chil Hashem, here it's Yidblo Re'iya. Here the, you know, the notion, right, the idea, the knowledge, the awareness of the violation, you know, Chavr Chavr Islay became, you know, publicized. But it's not that the Rambam actually saw the violation. So all I'm pointing out is that for the Smag, who thinks that both Shmad and Farhesia are both Medin Chil Hashem, the fact that he's Mechalik is going to have to be explained along the lines of one of these explanations that basically there's a chiluk in the Chil Hashem between Farhesia and Shmad. Either a chiluk between Sina and Rabim, or even within Rabim, maybe a chiluk between Yediyah and Re'iyah. Okay. Any questions before we move on from Rosh Hashanah? Yeah.
I just want to point out, according to my reading in the Yad Olam,
yeah,
about Chukas Akum, maybe it's in terms of Israel, and it's really talking about this at the right, so it's Chukas Akum. So that it might come out sort of the opposite relationship between Farhesia and Shmad.
I was like, according to the Yad Rama, if it's Daraisa,
right,
and yet he doesn't.
Right, and yet he only applies to Farhesia.
Farhesia.
So once it's Bakalo by Shmad. So I want to say that the opposite. If it's Shasa Shmad, then any Yisr Daraisa. But Farhesia is not a series of Shasa Shmad, it's only Abizrayu of the big three.
That's very creative, just read of the Gemara. You know, Afila Rax and Masana seems to be an extension. And if you're reading the Gemara as the Afila Rax and Masana is limited to Farhesia, then it'd be strange for the mitzvah, the Gedra Mitzvah Kala by Shema to be more expansive. It's, yeah, just linguistically. I hear in Svar why, you know.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm linguistically, it's true in terms of the afilu, but in terms of the need to ask the question altogether, right? Because it's strange the Gemara, according to this read, right, just neglected to explain what Mitzvah Kala is when it came to Shema. So you could say, no, oh, because Mitzvah Kala means any mitzvah.
No, it's fine, but the, I'm saying the afilu.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm just saying there's an advantage in terms of reading of the Lashon HaGemara, I don't know, why they didn't explain what Mitzvah Kala is, because I'm saying Mitzvah Kala means not the Mitzvah Chamur, it's any Mitzvah.
No, but that applies to other approaches as well. Even if you think that Arach to Masana, I'll say, is only to Rabbanans, you still have that benefit of that part of the idea. So yeah, the reason why the Gemara doesn't have to explain Mitzvah Kala by Shasha Shmad, because it's clearly talking about, you know, Shar Mitzvos. You know what I'm saying? You know, Pagina Diburich.
It's clearly talking about, Shar Mitzvos.
Either Dereis or Derabanan, depending on how you're Magdir.
Derabanan, you think you would need more.
You know what I'm saying? But according to my reading, I'll say the Yad Ramah. Right? That's, you know, Rax the Masana is Derabanan's, and then Mitzvakala is Dereis's. So then, yeah. That's exactly the same way it's utilized in the Gemara in Yuma. Here, but the Gemara doesn't have to explain it here. You're saying, according to if Mitzvah Kala includes Terabanans, you're saying that it's a little more surprising. Okay, I hear that.
Right. No, but just, I thought in terms of the need to ask a question, might indicate, like, Parhesia, feel Mitzvah Kala, then they say, my Mitzvah Kala. Like, what kind of thing are we saying you have to be Yahweh Yavor just because of Parhesia?
Okay, I hear. So the Havmina is going one direction, therefore the Maskan. Okay, interesting. So the last topic within the Shmad I'd like to discuss is this very mechudash an idea found in the Smak and the Mordechai and his idea of kavana lahavira. Right. So generally, I'm going to get back to this later, but generally kavana lahavira is really just seen as the lack of anas asma. Right. And generally, you know, it's not an independent mechayiv bepashtus. It's just as a heter of anas asma. But the chiddush of the Smak and the Mordechai, we'll read inside in a moment, that they think the factor of kavana lahavira is an independent mechayiv. Right, and therefore, if the anas is has kavana for the person to specifically violate, you know, his religion, there's going to be yehareg layavur, even if it's shar mitzvos, it's bitzina, and a shelo b'shas hashmat. There's like a huge expansion of yehareg layavur on the part of both the smak in mitzvah gimel, and in the Mordechai quoted here in Tav Shin Yud Tes. Right, and just to explain what's going on, why is kavana la'aviro, you know, a forming subject that you hardly have, or so it seems like it's like their expansion of Shmad, right? So if Shmad is like, you know, an institutional, you know, what's a good word for Shmad? Persecution, right? So then this is a, not an institutional persecution, but like an individualized persecution. And but whatever was Mechayev, let's say, Chil Hashem, or it's like Ke'en Avodah Zarah on an institutional level, right, can also be applied on an individual level in the case of Kavanah. So again, if you take, you know, I think it's, you know, you can explain this extension both within the Chil Hashem approach to Shmad and within the Domei La'avodah Zarah approach to Shmad. I think it's a little harder to, you know, to explain the Torah Matzah Halel of Rashi, because that really seems to be more of an institutionalized idea, like a snowball effect. But again, you could say, you know, at least on an individual level it'll be a snowball effect, but again, while the, I think the factors of Chil Hashem, well, Chil Hashem and Domei La'avodah Zarah, I think, could be extended in Bisvara. Again, the Torah Matzah Halel of, you know, Rashi's idea of Shalayar Gilu Ha'ovik Chavim Lahamrech Hazalavavos Pelikach, again, it would be, I think, a little harder to extend. That's just in terms of the Svara, of why Misvara would this factor of, you know, Kavana L'Ha'aviro, even outside of Shmad, even outside of Farhesit, even by Shar Mitzvos, why that would, you know, trigger Yerharig Vayavar. But just in terms of, you know, where are they getting from, a very interesting raya from our Gemara. Let's just go for it. And read the Smak that we have. Aaron, because he asked an important question on it, and the Seder also.
Masha Amru Bitsina Yavor Val Yamari. When you think Shah Goy Osa Bishbil and Ras Atma, Val Miskabe Viro Al Dad, Al Das Yari Val Yamari.
Right, so even Bitsina, seemingly, even by Shar Mitzvos, as long as there's Kavana La Haviro, that is subject to Yehareg Layavur. Where do you get that from? Stop there. So what's the raya? Is right. We have this as a member of Rav in our Gemara. Right, this is Gemara Vamos and the Gemara here. Right, they basically say in this case where it's a case of the violation of Shabbos, it's a Shar Mitzvos, and yet Yehareg Layavur seems to apply whenever there's Kavanah La'avira. So they're saying, right, the Gemara doesn't insert any context of Shmad or Farhes. Yeah? So if you take that Memra, Kipashtus, according to these, and Smag and Mordechai, who also quotes this Raya, sounds like, oh, as long as there's Kavanah La'avira, there's Yehareg Layavur. That's the Raya they bring. Again, you know, the rejection of the Raya is the fact that, you know, most Rishonim, you know, just insert the factors of either Shmad or Farhesia, that case. Again, once, if you think that the case is dealing with Farhesia or Shmad, so again, you know, the Raya falls away. But again, they're understanding it. If you take the Memra Kapashtos, you don't, you know, make any of Kiptos, there's the only, you know, factor to be Mechayev is the factor of Kavanah La'avira. And that is, you know, a Mechayev in of itself. This is very important.
Yes.
Say that a lot. If you're in Sfarhasya,
you have no paternal sense.
Exactly. So, well, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. Right. So while the point out is in terms of coming from the Gemaras, so right, the Smak and the Mordechai basically both cite that Memra in context of Aspasta as a riot to their idea that Kavana Lahaviro alone is mechayev. We point that other Rishonim will reject that raya by simply saying that the reason for the Yehareg Layavur there is really the factor of Shmad or Farhesia. And the Gemara is just telling you whether or not there's the heter of Hanas Atzma. just to point out, while they have this raya, which can, again could be rejected, there seems to be, you know, a number of problems with the Gemara, you know, aligning this shita with the Gemara. Number one is the fact that, you know, the Gemara never says this, right? Just problem number one, right? Omission is sometimes a commission, right? The Gemara implies that the only time you have Yehara Vayavar by Shar Mitzvos are in two cases, Shema and Farhesia. And again, if you have this chiddush of Kavana La'avir, again, why mention Shmat? This is like a much bigger chiddush than Shmat, and according to the way we're explaining it, it's more of an expansion of Shmat, so then give the bigger chiddush, and you don't even need to come on to Shmat. So again, raya number one against this, if from the Gemara, is just the basic reading of the Gemara, is that the only time you have Yehari Vayavar by Shar Mitzvos is either by Farhesia or by Shmat, not this, you know, this case of Kavana La'avir. And the other, perhaps even stronger raya, this is where Aaron was saying, is that only the smak smells this part out, is that according to their shita, right, once kavana lahaviro is its own independent mechayev, so then when do you need to have a case, I mean, what case is the mechayev, in what case is farhesia mechayev kiddush Hashem? It must be a case of hanas asma. Right. If Kavana La'avira alone is Mechayev Yehara Vayavar, even Bitsina, so then if the Gemara clearly says that there's a Mechayev of Farhesia, so then if it was Farhesia and Kavana La'avira, again, you wouldn't need Farhesia. So according to their read, they basically have to come out and say that, oh, it must be that Farhesia, even if it's Hanas Atzmo, is Mechayev Yehara Vayavar. And that is a major problem with the Gemara. Right? Because the Gemara, remember, introduces the heter of Hanas Atmo in context of Farhesia. That's where Rava says his din. Right? Remember the Gemara asks, Vaha Esther Farhesia Havya? Havai. And Rava's answer is Hanas Atmo Shiny. So again, they're according to their Shita that Farhesia is Mechayv Yehari Vayavor, you know, even in B'mokom Hanas Atmo, again, seems to be a direct stira to Rava at least. And don't tell me, oh, they don't pass him like Rava, because remember, the Raya, their Raya from Aspasta, right? They're only Raya's from Aspasta. And who's the Baal member of Aspasta? Rava. The Gemara says, you know, Va'oz the Rava Tameh. So again, it just doesn't seem to work with the Gemara, right? I mean, because Rava himself, who clearly applies Hanas Atzmo, you know, to Farhesia, is, you know, the only, you know, potential source for their Shita, so it's clear that it's a very difficult, you know, reading argument.
Maybe you can say that the Chiddush of Farhesia is by a reaction to Masana. Meaning...
Va'hester Farhesia.
Huh?
The case of Esther's Farhesia. I mean, the case where Rava introduces Hanas Atzmo is the Farhesia case of Esther.
They say outright that Hanas Atzmo would be.
And he says, I said, in Farhesia, the Hainu Bifnei Asara, then Afilu Amar Shadi Kadam Chiyusai, even when it's Hanas Atzmo, Yehar Vayabor. So it doesn't sound like it's they're limiting it to the Farhesia of Arach Mizan. That's not what he's discussing at that point. He says, Farhesia, Bifnei Asara. Right, so, just point out, as we mentioned this in earlier Shiram, but in light of the difficulty in the Gemara, it's interesting that right, it's both the Mordechai and the Smak are both Chachmei Ashkenaz. So this is like another really great, you know, example of the Chachmei Ashkenaz having, you know, major, major expansions of Yehara Vayavar, in cases where the Gemara is either, you know, preferish against it, or at least doesn't discuss it. In this light, this is the Smak in this piece, I think maybe earlier or later in the piece, I'm forgetting now, is where the Smak has another major expansion, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, where is to say that basically the Chai Behem is only Rishos. Basically, although there's no Chiv of Yehara Vayavar by Sharp Mitzvos, Bitsina, and Shalom Bishas Hashmad, right, in stark contrast to the Ramban and the Rambam, who say, no, when we apply the Chai Behem by Shar Mitzvah Spitzina, that's a Chiv of a Chai Behem, and there's no Rishus to kill yourself. The Smak says, oh, there's a Midas Chasidus, there's a Rishus, and even a value of, you know, being Yehara Vayavor, even in the case of Shar Mitzvah Spitzina, Shiloh B'Shas Hashmah. So again, the Smak, the general orientation of the Smak, and really the Chachmei Ashkenaz in general, is to be very embracive and very, you know, expansive of the Geder of Yehara Vayavar. And again, this example of Kavana Lahaviro is a really good example of that, especially given the difficulties that, you know, it poses to the simple reading of the Gemara.
Actually, Mordechai himself is basically filled with Kesh Hashem Crusades.
Okay, so definitely, you know, interesting, you know, connection. So I think I guess we'll stop here, and I guess we'll pick up with Karka Olam tomorrow.